Time to talk gadgets and talk tech now with the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Türkalp. Don't forget that you can subscribe to his podcast for free at gadgetdetective.com, or you can get it on any of the ways that you normally get your podcast. Have you had a good week, Fevzi?
Had a very good week. Thank you, Bill. How are you?
This is good to hear. I'm fine as well, thank you. Let us start with your story of the week. And this is sort of the old guard sort of helping out with the modern world, really. You know, the Lord, of the Lords are all being 94 and a bit stuffy, but they're understanding clearly the benefits or the necessity of the modern world's gadgets.
It does come to it when the unelected house is telling the elected house what it should be doing in terms of making life a little bit less painful for those of us that are struggling. So this is, you know, we've talked about social broadband before, where people who are on those sorts of benefits, there are hidden deals available, and I think they are hidden deals because the broadband companies and the mobile phone companies that offer these special low tariffs don't advertise them. Most people don't find out from the companies themselves, are usually paying full whack or indeed can't afford to pay full whack. So this is for people who are on various sorts of benefits, and it's the ability to get cheap broadband and cheap mobile phone tariffs as well. And that's something that's worth reiterating, and you should look for those deals. It can start from about £10 a month, which is a lot less than most of us are paying. Yeah. And to be honest, broadband and mobile phones now are like utilities in the way that water and gas are. They are the stuff of modern life that trying to survive without them is very hard. It's not like it was in the past. And ironically, the benefit system is moving entirely online as well. So if you're in receipt of benefits and you can't afford to be online, then that's kind of tricky. So this what adds to this story is a report by a House of Lords committee that says that these cheap deals should not attract VAT, which they currently do, and they currently attract it at the full rate as well. If you think about other utilities, some utilities don't have VAT and others have VAT at a lower rate. And I'm old enough to remember that VAT stands for value added tax, and it was a luxury tax.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Obviously, we've moved away from that to a large extent. There has been a kerfuffle about VAT on things like school uniforms and sanitary products and things like that. And I think this is another one of those categories where it really ought not to be attracting VAT, or at least not at the full 20%. The government shouldn't be making money on this. The government should have a policy to tackle digital exclusion. I'm not just talking about this government, by the way. You know, this has been
brewing for going decades.
Going for a long time. But I think it's more important now because, compared to, say, 13 years ago, we are in a world where you really can't, if you try and get by without internet access, for example, you're looking for a job, some job offers only appear online. You know, the idea of, getting the local paper and going through the jobs, that's kind of largely gone now.
Quick point. I'm just wondering whether some people will be saying, well, there are libraries, and they provide the internet. If you really can't afford it at home, you can still access it. Is that any kind of argument?
Absolutely true. But it puts children at a disadvantage because libraries are not open at all hours and not always safe or economical to travel to and from libraries. You know, public transport is not cheap either. And many people do have to pay for public transport. So, it all adds up and it basically disadvantages whole groups of people. And when we used to talk about digital exclusion in the past, we were typically talking about, and these are important groups, we were talking about typically older people, people with particular disabilities. In addition to those two very important groups of people, you're now talking about people who just cannot afford it. It's not that they don't understand the benefits of it and how to use it and all of the traditional stuff for digital exclusion. It's now what we euphemistically call the cost of living crisis that just means that whole rafts of people who perhaps were connected in the past now have had to give up all sorts of subscriptions, including broadband.
So they want the government to look at the VAT. Are there other things we should hear from this report, other recommendations?
I think that's the main main thrust
that
of it.
That would be the big help, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing that I would add to that is I would like to compel companies to offer this. Most of them offer it, but there are some notable exclusions. And right. I would like them to make clear that they do offer it and you know, maybe to have rules that put in place that they should basically ask questions of their customers: do they qualify for this, or ask the question, you know, are you on this benefit? You may qualify for a cheaper rate, but there's nothing on their websites. I mean, you dig around, you just can't. Even if you know these social tariffs exist, they're not on the website to find. I couldn't find them.
No. The most damning quote, I suppose, from the committee is the government does not have a credible strategy to tackle digital exclusion. So that, you know, you've given us one specific, but they're clearly much more broadly dissatisfied with the current situation. And
That's true. And you know, this is like low hanging fruit. If you empower people to give them the ability to afford telecommunications access, you will encourage more people into work, better paying jobs. And also, you know, we've talked a lot about AI and the fact that people need to reskill if they're going to keep their jobs. And, you know, doing that without online access is difficult. And yes, you can go to the library, but if everyone trolled up to the library, you'd soon find the library was overwhelmed as well. So, you know, they don't have that many machines.
Are you, like me, old enough to remember, Fevzi, the days when you got set a school project and it required you to do the research yourself? And you went to and there'd be 30 kids in the class, and you went to the library and they had 3 copies of that book.
Yeah, yeah. No,
nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what I remember as a kid, as a 9-year-old, I did some project for school and I wrote to what was then called the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries and Food and asked them for all their pamphlets. And they sent me, I don't know, must have been getting on for about 8 kilos of pamphlets.
One of each, or they just thought you meant you'd like as many as possible,
I just asked them to send
you should
me
have been more specific.
I asked them to send me everything they had. No, it was great. I think I did. I had this very impressive project. You know, it was, you know, in the days when information was not easy to come by, here was this trove of information that was amazing.
And a warm fire in the hearth for hours as well.
Yeah, nowadays you just get a link.
We're halfway through our weekly catch-up with Fevzi Turkalp, the Gadget Detective. If you want to follow him on Twitter, he's at Gadget Detective. And here he comes with the first of two, and it's a tablet.
Yep, it's a tablet. It's not just any tablet. It's made by Google. So Google, you will know, are the people who produce the Android operating system. You know, turns up on a huge number of phones. If it's not an iPhone, it's essentially Android. And there is a certain benefit to having Google's version of Android on its devices, because you get something called stock Android, which means that you don't get all those additional widgets that, you know, people like Samsung and others stick on their devices to try and differentiate themselves. You get a very pure version of Android, and that's a good thing. It's more efficient and less cluttered.
Nice.
And you're more likely to get updates for longer as well, because it is stock Android. So this is called the Google Pixel tablet. It's a newly launched tablet. It's the only one that Google engineer themselves, as it were. It's got their own powerful chip in it. So just like Apple have their own bespoke chips now inside their devices, Google have got their Tensor G2 chip, which is the same chip that goes in their flagship smartphone as well. So it makes it very good for AI-based things. So we've talked about AI photo editing on Google devices before. Mm. So it's got the ability to... So you could edit photos on this, for example. You can unblur a blurred photograph. You can crop out anything or anyone that you don't want from a photo, and it intelligently crops it out and makes an intelligent guess of what might have been behind it, and makes it, you know, much more interesting in that way. It's an 11-inch tablet. It's preloaded with Google TV as well, which is Google's latest incarnation of their sort of online television offering. It comes complete, and I think this is the real sort of benefit and something that you don't get with iPads. It comes complete with its own charging speaker dock, and you know that sells. You can buy those separately. They're £130 each, but this tablet comes with it. So it's a magnetic dock with a tilted surface on it and a speaker built inside. So you've got the speakers built into the tablet, and they're good quality speakers for a tablet. But when you just place, you finish with the tablet in your hand and you place it on the dock, first of all, it magnetically locks on. It starts charging the device automatically. So, you know, it's always topped up. You don't have to plug cables into it to charge it. You just put it on there. And immediately it switches over to the built-in speaker in the dock, and then you get sort of room-filling sound out of it. So at that point, it goes from being a simple tablet to, as I say, this roomful of thing, but it becomes something more like a home hub. So you can control. It works as a smart display, so you can use it as a smart speaker. You can use it to control any smart devices that you've got in your home. So if you've got, you know, Google Nest cameras, you've got a Google doorbell, you can answer the door. You can do that. You can set Google thermostats, all that sort of thing. So it becomes the controller for your ecosystem. Becomes this, as I say, a smart speaker as well. So you say hey, and then that word begins with G. And it does all of that, and it's very good. And the speech recognition on Google devices tends to be better than on Apple devices at the moment. They're just a bit better at the AI based stuff. So all in all, it also becomes a digital photo frame if you want it to be at that point as well when it's docked. And one of the things I really like about this, and it's often missed when people talk about this device, is that unlike iPads, you can have multiple user accounts and you can switch between them easily. So with an iPad, it's a personal device. If you've got, you know, husband and wife or two kids and they're not all wanting to use it at the same time, you end up having to buy a device for each of them, which is no accident. Apple sells more kit by doing that. This device allows you to have multiple accounts. So you could have one account for each family member. And all right, they can't all use the device at the same time. But what it means is that they just switch over to themselves, and then the tablet is set up as they left it, as they like it, with the apps that they wanted and everything looking and behaving in the way that they
want.
Very
good, very clever.
Or if you want, you can have just for yourself, you can have one for your personal and one for business use.
Yeah.
So you can just switch between them. And, you know, obviously we take this for granted in computers, you know, with Windows and so forth. You log out as one user, you log in as another user. This is a similar thing, except it's very easy to do. It's very intuitive. But it's something that you stop from doing with all Apple devices. No iPhone and no iPad, no matter how much you pay for it, has that capability. So they push you towards buying more. Also, the entry-level RAM on it is 128 gigabytes, which is generous compared to the 64 gigabytes on the entry-level iPad. It's got built-in Chromecast, so if you've got an Android phone, you can cast the video from the small phone onto the bigger screen of the tablet. Just works really, really well. Works well with the... I think the key word in all of this is ecosystem. If you've got a load of Apple devices, you're going to buy an iPad, most likely. But if you use Android devices, and particularly if you use any of the Google devices, like the Pixel smartphones or the earbuds, for example, or the watch, then this is the best way to go.
Okay.
Lovely colours, porcelain and hazel colours, which I was actually quite fond of. 4 stars out of 5, Google Pixel tablet.
Right. Now, look me straight in the eye, Fevzi Turkalp.
Can I do it in?
3 minutes.
Oh, God, yes, I can do it twice in 3 minutes. Right. This is an unusual gadget. It's called the Pivo Max, P-I-V-O, and it's the Max version. And it's a device that you can load your smartphone into, or a tablet, or a camera. And it's a tracking device. It tracks your movements and allows you to shoot video whilst you're moving around. So that could be, let's say you're doing, I don't know, a cooking podcast in your home and you're walking around your kitchen. It literally swings around. It will do 360 degrees. It will follow you all the way around. It does built-in battery, non-stop recording. It does, it's very clever. It does face tracking, body tracking, It's quite niche. It will track certain animals like horses and dogs. So the people who are into, show jumping and have horses and ponies and all of that, and they want a video of themselves jumping, you know, it's a kind of niche area, but it's great for that. Similarly, if you want to track your dog running around, it will do that. Shoots All right. really good video. They're also marketing it, I noticed, for use in gymnasiums as well. So if you are working out and doing various things and you want to either have an instructor watching you live or, maybe have a video for your own review of it, mm-hmm. you can do that as well. It's different from the earlier versions. The earlier versions you could load in a smartphone, but this is a much meatier device, hence the term Pivo Max. And it will allow you to load a smartphone, a tablet, or a camera, a proper camera, even a small digital SLR camera. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be really flash, on top of your camera, you can mount your smartphone as well and shoot twice. You can have, double video with it. It's really a unique product. It's extremely versatile. 1 minute studio, it says. Price of the basic Pivo Max is £191.91. If you don't need the extra strength to it, you can buy a cheaper version. 4 stars out of 5. Excellent device.
We came in with time to spare. Lovely job. Thank you so much, Fevzi. I'll never doubt you again. I feel Cheers. Bad now. Thanks a lot. Talk to you next week. Fevzi Turk out there, keeping us up to date with the world of technology.